Live from the Findlay Toyota Studios, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
All right, here we go. Cofield and Company here on a Thursday. Greg Salerno's with us. Griffin is also part of the company. We'll get into last night and really the last couple days in the NBA. What we're looking forward to tonight was GSW and Minnesota with the Curry-less Warriors. The guy won all those titles, Draymond Green. I'm sure he's going to carry him, so we'll get to Dr. Dre's role in this whole thing. A lot of football today. Some college sports as well. We got Coaches versus Cancer in town, so we're going to talk to one of the hosts of it, Dallin Cuff, former college basketball player, host on Sirius XM and on ESPN. That's coming up in less than 15 minutes. So what's up, Salerno? You going to be focused today for 3 hours? Or are we going to talk about quantum computers? And I don't know what you were talking about yesterday.
Yeah.
By the way, as I texted you, don't ever apologize for anything you talk about on the air. Who cares? If you don't want to talk sports, don't talk sports.
Oh, all right.
Well, I found it fascinating. I was like, I don't know what he's talking about, but I feel like I'm learning.
Yeah. Well, you're going to love the next 3 hours then, because I've got all kinds of non-sports stuff to talk about.
There you go.
Yeah, I mean, I get off the rails a lot sometimes, and when
There's
I get
no
on the
rails
topic.
Here. No rails.
Good. That's perfect.
No rails, right? Yesterday we talked a lot about, or 2 days ago, I think yesterday was Met Gala, a chef's cruise, and several other things.
I still don't know what that is, by the way.
What, the chef's cruise?
The Met Gala.
Oh, the Met Gala?
I have no idea what that's for, what it means, what it is.
Just a big dinner party event where everyone gets dressed up, they have a theme, and they all go out and have a fashion show.
But who started this, and who decided this was a thing?
I don't know. But it's getting bigger and bigger, obviously, and athletes are very much into it.
Now, is this an old thing, or is this new?
I don't know. Yeah, we have Xavier Pope on later this hour. I was going to bring it up with him. Hopefully he knows everything.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't have answers for you. Right. I'm learning. I just appreciated the looks.
Oh, yeah. No, it was nice.
There was some good stuff.
There was.
Real good stuff.
Yeah.
We're going to get a lot more A's in terms of looks on TV. Locally. That's good.
I tell you what. I actually saw this, and it gave me a little homey feeling. I was like, oh, look, we got like a local baseball team. I mean, it's kind of cool. Yeah, I mean, we already knew we had one, but to watch them actually make a deal with Fox 5 and have actual dates with like a, what do they call that, a graphic with actual dates on it with a Vegas team, it's kind of cool. I like seeing it.
Well, it's necessary if you're going to build momentum towards this stadium and a new team here in 3 or 4 years. You want to get people fired up. If you choose not to play the games in Vegas and stay in Sacramento, it just feels like a faraway place thing. And, getting it on local TV is a good thing. They're on somewhere on local radio. I haven't heard it. I don't really know where. I don't remember after the press release. I mean, I would have paid Lotus Broadcasting to have them on and dedicate a station here. But, that's me. I don't run the A's.
Yeah.
And believe me, I have no – I mean, I guess I have a little bit of a play in the game, but I wouldn't get paid off of that. So, but I think, being on the sports group would have been smart. But we'll see. Maybe that happens down the road.
Yeah, getting paid's overrated anyway. I don't know. I think it's cool, but like you're right. I was kind of surprised not to hear that wasn't one of our stations. Honestly, that things were wrong, because I mean, there's really the only game in town. I thought.
Cha-ching, yeah, pay up.
I guess so.
Game's coming up on local Fox, Silver State Sports and Entertainment Network. You'll have a lot of additional features with Kevin Bollinger and our guy Mike Davis partnership. More features, local personalities talking about your team. Thursday. May 22nd, Angels game. That'll be the first one on. Several of them are day games. I feel like the A's played a lot of day games.
Yeah.
For me, day games are different because I'm working. And a lot of times I'm like, maybe I can watch. Most times I can't. And I'm like, oh, the game's over already. But remember the A's, that'll be a home game in Sacramento. That'll be a 12:35 start. It's next Thursday from now. So that's a cool thing. They're going to have 15 of them all the way through September, and they're off to a good start. They're 20-18. They're hitting the ball pretty well. Pitching kind of coming together. They're definitely not the Rockies or White Sox or Pirates.
No.
So that's something to be proud of, and that means they're making progress, and they have more young prospects on the way. Got to develop a lot more pitching, but signs are looking better now that at least they're turning the corner as they come here.
It'd be funny after all the crap I talked to, they came here and were actually good, because I just assumed they were going to suck. But it looks like they're, I mean, like you said, they're heading in the right direction. They're not terrible, and they have – a future or a plan, at least it looks like, where they're actually using their prospects now and not just trading everybody away. We'll see.
Just about anyone in baseball can have a good farm system. Maybe having more money allows you scouts and you can be a little more active on the international market.
Or,
like the Dodgers have cornered the Japanese market. But there are teams that don't have a lot of money that have great farm systems and can constantly produce. It doesn't mean they go 90 wins every year, But I think the Rays are a model franchise. I don't really think the Twins are a small market. They're a top 12 market. The Metro theirs is top five.
Yeah.
But, you know, clubs that don't have BAFO money and the A's don't have BAFO money, if you hire the right people, you can put together a good farm system, and they have. And I'll give you a good example of it. This is a program. I'm going to call them a program. They're in the NBA. But this is a program in Boston that had a game plan. And did they hard tank? Did they have a stupid name for it like the Sixers? No. But they acquired a lot of picks over the years. They made some mistakes along the way. Getting Kyrie Irving was a failure. But they built with the cornerstones of Tatum and Brown. And they got him in the fold at like 19 years old. And those guys have turned into a combined 50 points a game. They've won a title. So as I sit here, I don't understand the panic. And I mean, I guess I do understand. This is what we do in 2025 sports.
Sure.
Believe me, it's what we did in 1987 sports too.
Right.
So I'll have a whole lecture
back
on that.
Back in your day.
Yeah, I always loved the back in my day in media, I was in your day. Right. I listened to it. I watched it. I did it. Shut up. It's as good now as it's ever been. But yeah, it's the NBA is as big as it is, and it's, you know, one of the biggest sports basketball in the world, professional basketball, because of the drama, because of late game drama, because of the ebb and flow and twist and turns of the series. And yeah, the Celtics have gotten out to a bad start here, and they're not hitting their threes. They're not playing great defense. They're not containing Jalen Brunson. Well, you know what? I'll give him credit on this. Brunson didn't go off last night. He was 6-19. But they couldn't deliver down the stretch. They couldn't close out the game. They got outscored 23-8 down the stretch, like the last 8.5 minutes. That said, I would still bet them to win the series. I wouldn't do it with a ton of confidence, but the panic right now and some of the narratives are crazy. What are you seeing in the series?
I wasn't shocked about the first game because the Celtics do that a lot where they come into a series and just, you know, have a stinker in the first game, whatever, and maybe they'll come back and look better. I was really shocked last night they weren't able to get that win, though. I don't know, man. I feel like this series, I'd be worried if I'm the Celtics. Not overall. I mean, they just won a title last year, and both kids are super young.
They did?
You know, I mean, it's just ridiculous.
You wouldn't think so, by the way people are talking.
I know. I mean, to say, like, long-term, you know, 30,000-foot view that they're, like, need to break them up or something to me is ridiculous. But this particular series, I feel like they might be in trouble because they still got to go back to, you know, the Garden, the real Garden, and I don't know if they're winning both games there. So we'll have to see what happens. But this series, I think they might be cooked.
Couple of narratives that were out last couple days, and especially this morning. This series is legacy-defining for Tatum and Brown. They just won title. What do you mean? The title's taken away?
Yeah.
Is that what happens if you lose as a minus 800 favorite the next year?
Yeah.
You don't defend your title? The title's taken away? Who gets the title then?
It's
They just won the title. How can it be legacy-defining?
It's 364 days is all you get to keep the title, I guess. I don't know, man. That's crazy. It's just won.
You know, the great thing is, and I think I have this right in my head, no one will ever say this, but if you were a prisoner of the moment at the time, but no one would ever say this because they don't remember, and I think I remember, the Sixers won the title in, I think it was 82, 83. They come back the next season. They make the playoffs. They lose to the Nets as massive favorites in a series. They don't defend their title.
Throw them out.
Julius Erving, Mo Cheeks.
Bums.
Moses Malone. Sucked!
Yep.
Losers.
Yeah, man.
Couldn't defend their title. Losers! Dr. J's legacy ruined forever. People say that to me all the time.
Yeah.
They never say that. So, like, as we're prisoners of the moment right now, calm the frig down. Hell, even if they lose the series 4-0, they won a title.
Yeah.
They won a title. And then the next narrative is, and I think a lot of this comes from Boston, because Boston media is hyper-aggressive, just like Philly and New York. It's crazy there.
Yeah.
Is this, and it was going on before they won a title. Now it's back, is you got to break up Tatum and Brown. And every time they say that over the years, I'm like, why?
I know. They've had nothing but success. I mean, honestly, every single year they're either...
Oh, ready? Here's the new one. One title.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not 37.
I know. They're not even 30, I don't think, are they?
No.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, they're not even... Your athletic prime is supposedly 30 years old. Neither one of them's hit it yet. They already have a title. They have two appearances in the finals. They're deep in the playoffs every single season. You know, this year maybe they're not, but man, that's tough. Tough criticism.
I will say, and this call is awesome by Kevin Harlan. Man, he was really into it. And this is part coaching. It's part your best player. This attempt at a final shot, not great. But, you know, let's give credit to the Knicks as they played really good defense on this.
Plenty of time here. It's Tatum. Robinson's on him. Tatum maneuvering. Oh, the ball knocked away. Another great defensive play for the Knicks. They've got it. They've won it. New York has gone up 2-0.
I freaking love that play.
That's a great call.
It's a great call. Kevin Harlan's the best. I love that play because you've got an ISO situation where Mitchell Robinson, I guess, gets stuck.
Yeah.
On 6'7", Jason Tatum. Tatum's like, I can't get by him. So he drives hard to the left. They have some switches. Bridges is there on a weak-ass shot to swat it away. And they take the ball the other way and close the game out. Now, the way this is being portrayed is Tatum's a loser. Here we go. Jason Tatum, can't trust him. This is why he wasn't on Team USA. I'm like, my God, the Avalanche the other way after you win a title? Jesus, God almighty. How about Knicks were awesome on defense? And Knicks got big plays, even, you know, from guys who kind of sucked a lot of the game shooting. Like, Bridges was terrible. And so Tibbs is like, you know what? Brunson's not doing well. Things aren't working right now. Let's take Cat off the floor and Brunson. You know what? Run everything through Bridges. Bridges goes 4 or 5 from three after being 0-for-9 from the floor. Like, okay.
Yeah, I think Tatum, and I kind of get, I don't want to say I get the Tatum hate because I think he's probably a nice guy, but I kind of get how he like rubs people the wrong way a little bit with some of the stuff he says and like, I don't know, his comments and things like that.
Really?
Yeah, he's like really defensive a lot. It's like, dude, all right, you're good. Just relax. You know what I mean? I don't know how to explain it, but it's like he tries really hard. And if you see the things where like, you know, he tries to reenact other people's moments.
I didn't like that. I was just going to say that. That to me looked like that the posing and like a Kobe pose.
Right, right, right.
When he wins the title, that reminded me of every wealthy person who gets engaged.
Yeah.
And there just happens to be a camera on the beach.
Sure. Yeah.
I know it's a setup.
And he did that.
But I'm like, why are we doing this?
He did the Kevin Garnett too. At one point, I forget what it was that he said. That was like just like what Kevin Garnett said.
No.
So, I mean, I kind of get it. And you, like you said earlier, basketball's more about the drama a lot of times than it is the actual game on the floor. So I get why people have perceptions of certain people and it rubs them the wrong way. But, I mean, as a player, yeah, these guys are young, they're amazing, and they're better than your team probably.
It's still, it also brings back one of the two best NBA wrong takes ever. The worst take ever was Colin Cowherd getting on Kevin Durant for being a weakling because he thought Greg Oden was an absolute man-child, the lock of the century to be great.
Wasn't it because Durant only did like 10 push or 10
he
push?
Built, he pulls? Built it. I don't think it was 10. I don't know what he couldn't do 225.
Whatever it was very little.
It was bench press and it was crap. The second best one is the great Villanova teams and Stephen A. Smith going on TV saying they don't have a single NBA prospect. And now they're all in the Knicks, and the Knicks are a 50-plus win team. By the way, Paizan.
Yes.
Did you see that Villanova grad?
No.
Prevost is now the Pope. First American Pope.
Really? I didn't even know they picked one.
Hey, he's a Villanova guy. Pope Leo IV. Where the hell have you been all day?
I don't know.
I cried all day.
I was standing in a post office for an hour and a half before this, trying to get my.
You don't have your phone on to watch the new Pope?
Well, did they let the smoke up? I usually look for the smoke.
Oh, yeah.
Can't forget, too, Chicago native as well.
Chicago native.
Wow.
You know what baseball team he likes?
I would either assume the Sox or the Cubs.
Well, which one? Can't be both. Are you both?
My money's on White Sox.
No, Cubs.
Did you say he's the first American Pope?
Yeah, first American Pope.
Whoa. So he doesn't have an accent or anything? I'm not used to that with a Pope, you know?
The flip side of this, do we need a Pope who can have back and forth dialogue a lot with Trump and J.D. Vance? You know what this is going to turn into.
You mean like
it's going to be every week there's some fight going on between the Pope and Pope Trump.
Right. You think the Pope might get deported? Well, he has to live in Rome, right?
He might get deported. Better be careful. Watch himself. Hey, that's not funny. No deportation jokes. Oh, believe me. This will be – there's a lot of things, and we'll roll down the list later on.
Yeah.
Because I think this College Sports Commission is another one of the classic DJT
diversions, distractions to get your mind off real things.
Yes, the, always.
Battling with the Pope once a month.
Yeah. Yeah.
And especially battling because this guy already called out. Now Pope Leo IV already called out J.D. Vance on his religious take about 6 months ago.
Yeah.
Watch this. We're going to have faith debates between the Pope, an American who speaks English. Obviously, he's going to think about home a lot and Trump/Vance. It'll be monthly.
I saw this thing where like they said J.D. Vance visited the Pope and he immediately died. Then he went to some factory and that factory closed down. And then like something else happened where he went somewhere else.
Well, he went and endorsed his brother.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. And the brother lost by like 80%.
Lost like 89-11.
That's so funny. What a bad week.
Well, we have a new Pope and he's American and he's a Cubs fan and he went to Villanova.
Congratulations.
I know. Notre Dame graduate.
Pope really. Francis Prevost.
Nice. Pope Leo. Just go with the official name.
All right.
Pope Leo IV, apparently. I wasn't aware of the first three, but
there's three other Leos.
My faith and all that stuff has fallen off a bit.
Really?
For obvious reasons.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
I got to get away from the NBA. I can't do the Celtics, break up the Celtics, or Jason Tatum sucks right now. We'll get back to it. Let's get into a little college basketball. And a great event. They go on all year long, but this is one of the tentpole events. Coaches versus Cancer Golf Tournament Weekend in Vegas. It starts up on the 18th, goes through the 20th, and Dallin Cuff is part of it. He's a host for SiriusXM on their college sports channel and ESPN and college basketball coverage. Dallin is Cofield in Vegas. Greg is here as well. How are you, buddy?
Hello, it's good to be on with you, and I loved your intro, by the way. I mean, you just sound so exasperated about what we have to do in modern sports media. You know, Celtics lose twice. It's not even over. We got to get rid of the team. We got to break it up. Yep. It's got to be done. I'm here to give you a break from that, though.
I love hot takes. I really do. But this one, I'm like, it's too much for me. It's too much. Okay, before we get into some college basketball stories and kind of review the season, some off-season stories, tell me your involvement with Coaches versus Cancer and what you think of this event.
I love being part of this group. And American Cancer Society is the overarching organization. Is Coaches versus Cancer is one of their verticals to really raise money and really what American Cancer Society mission is to end cancer as we know it for everyone. It's a lofty goal, but what else are we doing here? And they'll just like everybody else, I'm sure most of your listeners and probably you guys have somebody that has been touched or maybe personally by cancer yourselves and in a negative way. I lost my father going on 13 years now to cancer in a battle that, honestly, I think if he had the resources and the understanding and the some of the things American Cancer Society has provided now, maybe he wins that battle. Maybe we have him for another month or 6 months or 2 years. I don't know. But I think losing him has made me want to be part of this. I was inspired to do it by Sean Farnham, one of my colleagues at ESPN, who lost his father-in-law and has been really involved with ACS the last 7 or 8 years. And now is on the board of American Cancer Society. He will be out there in Vegas as well. We will be playing at the same foursome together. It'll be fun. But most importantly, we'll be co-hosting the event on Monday night. It is we're co-hosting the event there to just try to raise money, as much money as possible. But there's other things that's real quick. There's some of your listeners you can do that really affect the mission and what American Cancer Society is doing. The simplest thing: get yourself screened. Like that's the biggest thing. That's what most of the messaging we put out there all year when the Suits and Sneakers Weeks going on in college basketball in January and other Coaches versus Cancer events. Yes, we need money. Yes, Road to Recovery is a great program. You can drive people to their treatments. But the most base thing you can do is take care of yourself. And that has by far the biggest impact. So I hope anybody listening does kind of understand that. If you keep yourself first when it comes to your safety as it relates to cancer, that does yourself really well good and does the whole mission, changes the whole mission.
You can donate it. cancer.org, and you mentioned the driver program. That really is important because a lot of people, when they get sick, they don't have any way to get to treatment, and that's the brainchild of Lon Kruger, Kevin Kruger, the whole Kruger family, very special to people here in Las Vegas, and he's the host. He's one of the guys who started this whole thing. This is his big golf event, so he's done some amazing things over the years. I want to transition, Dallin Cuff is with us, to a couple of college basketball things. First of all, the story of Florida. I heard you talking about this a lot, and you were kind of intertwined in the whole deal. I was listening to a lot of radio at the time when you were talking about it. Can you tell the Vegas audience why the Florida national title story is so cool?
Real quick, just on Lon and Kevin and their involvement. Yeah. Like this is the showpiece event, to your point, because this is I mean, we're going to raise $2+ million. We're at Shadow Creek, Cascada, Southern Highlands. You can buy a ticket to the gala, I believe, or the event, I believe. Like, it is an awesome experience. If you can get involved and play a foursome, they spare no expense to make sure you have an amazing experience, so that your donation and your dollars go a long way, and have great partners like MGM Grand and the courses themselves, so that they're not shelling out a lot of money, but we'll be able to take a lot of donations in and give a first-class experience. So, yeah, shout out to Coach Kruger, who does this. This is so much of this is his brainchild, and this, I'm honored to be a part of it. As it relates to the fourth, story and them winning the national championship, it was interesting too. I was on some shows in November. One of my favorite long shot plays, the book was either 20 or 25 to 1. You could find it different places. Florida to win the whole thing. It seemed crazy then, but as they started to develop, we realized it wasn't. I've known Tom Golden since he was the volunteer assistant at Columbia 13 years ago. Got to know him when Kyle Smith was the coach, who's now the coach at Stanford. And Kyle's funny because he would tell me, and I just quit my job, marketing and advertising in New York City, to try to be a broadcaster in 2011. And I remember him talking to me one time, because on that staff was Kobe Altman, who's now the president of the Cavs, Kevin Hubdy, who's now Columbia's head coach, which just happened a couple months ago. I'm very excited about that. Carlin Harbin, who's probably one of the best assistants in the country. Yep. Mike Magpio, who was the UC Riverside head coach, now the Fordham head coach. And CJ Andrechuk was basically not a grad assistant, a in-school, assistant brainchild, just crunching numbers with how they used analytics and the metrics they were using back then was very advanced. He's now the coach at Campbell, head coach. Like, that staff, I remember Kyle saying to me, I don't know much, Cuff, but I know talent. And this staff is loaded. And, man, was he right, bro. It is ridiculous how good that staff was at the time. And also, they made Columbia much better, got them the chances to places where they had not been in, 20, 30 years. And then he went on to San Francisco. Todd eventually went with him to San Francisco after a little stop at Auburn to be assistant for Bruce Pearl. And then Todd gets his shot at USF, gets that team into the tournament, and then gets a shot at Florida. And I knew they would be successful because, like I said, known Todd for a long time. I didn't know they were going to win a championship in his first 3 years. I didn't know they were going to Final Four. But how he's run that team and how they've improved defensively, their versatility, how they play offensively and analytically, how he attacks certain situations. Remember, guys, most teams would have not won that game against Texas Tech. They chose to foul with almost 3 minutes to go. And he's done this for years now. He will foul in a hack-a-shack-type manner based on who's got the ball and percentages more than anybody else in college basketball, because he's playing the numbers, he's playing the odds, and doing things in a way that are unorthodox but yield results. They fouled once, they got a missed free throw, they go bang a three. They fouled twice, they get a missed free throw, they go bang a three. They were down 9. All of a sudden, they're down 3 with under 2 minutes to go. They were down 9 with 3 minutes to go. This guy, what he's done is outstanding. He will also be at the event out in Vegas and be one of the honorees as well there, and being playing with foursome. So excited to see Todd out there and see him swinging the sticks. But Florida's got a good thing going, man. He's got extended too, and that they're just going to keep on rolling down there.
Talking to Dalen Cuff, ESPN CBB expert, basketball, college basketball. Should Villanova be excited about Kevin Willard? Because, I mean, they're trying to do the same thing over there, obviously, and he just announced their new staff. How excited this should be over at Villanova?
Well, I think what they're excited about, if you're Villanova or any Big East team, this is weird to say this in modern college basketball, they don't have football. And that's a good thing right now. Because of how settlement is going to shake out with the revenue sharing, you get about just over $20 million to spread across all your sports. Well, when you don't have football, all of that's primarily that's going to basketball now. So teams like UConn's got you don't have to spend $20 million, you spend up to $20 million. But UConn's got reportedly $10 million budget they're working with. St. John's is getting recruits. Villanova's got big money. And they're pouring this money in now before that settlement comes into effect and changes some of the NIL rules that may or may not be governed properly. We'll distract your audience with that. But the system is trying to change itself. And when the system changes itself, it's going to be advantageous for Villanova and the other Big East teams. We've already seen it in this offseason in terms of the transfer portal. I think he's assembled a good staff. He is a good coach. I don't like the way he went out at Maryland. I don't like the way he made it about the organization and himself and the lack of resources going into an NCAA tournament with a team that was really talented. I think that was poorly managed, all of it. That said, guy can win games. Won at Seton Hall, won at Maryland. Very good coach, smart guy, like him a lot. I think they can have a lot of success there, and I think those Big East teams are primed right now financially to do things that other teams can't do that have to pay their football teams of that $20 million, 75% of it, 70% of it, especially in the SEC. The ACC teams are trying to get better in the Big Ten. A lot of that expenditure goes to the gridiron.
You can go up on Twitter, Coaches versus Cancer, get more information at cancer.org, Coaches versus Cancer in town, big golf tournament on Monday through next Wednesday. Dallin Cuff is with us from ESPN and SiriusXM. Let's close on this one. So we've got a we've got government involvement, we think, with the Trump College Sports Commission. If they call you up, Dallin Cuff, and they're like, hey, we want you. You got to come in. You tell us about college basketball. What's the number one thing you want to fix?
Wow.
I know.
Call me in. Talk about a question. What's the number one thing I want to fix?
Yep.
We have so many issues, but I do think because the thing is with the government problem, but here, you know what I'm going to issue? There has to be legislation. None of this stuff matters. It is all a joke until they're codified into law. So even if you want to give me an executive order, an executive action, that will be tested. It will be tested legally. I imagine they had a lobbying day with all four conference commissioners, all these coaches there, head coaches, Stark was there, Bruce Pearl is there. We got all the administrators down in D.C. are supposed to have a panel hosted by one of two of my colleagues with all four conference commissioners. And I got Ted Cruz coming up next, who's the sponsor of the legislation. That's going to be the big deal. That's who's going to change it. Here we go. Where's Ted Cruz? Stood aside. So, with 500 people in the room who fancy themselves, all of them, pretty important people in their own sectors, doesn't post. So, that lets you know where this fits in a Washington that has all these problems.
Yeah.
If there are no laws, I don't think they can get this thing done. So, even if you give me the Trump Commission and I come and do this, and granted, laws are out the window in a lot of this stuff, so maybe I'm over my skis, but I imagine that if there is not a legal passage of law saying these athletes are not employees, here's how the transfer portal will work, here's how NIL works, and codify some of the house settlement stuff, and also protect them from future lawsuits. You have to protect them from antitrust lawsuits. Now the problem is there has to be a good deal here though for both sides, and right now I think the house settlement does make a pretty good deal. So if you codify some of this stuff and allow them to still make as much money as they want in the NIL market, that's the big problem, then I think you can be okay. But if there is no legislation, then we can go sit in the White House and talk ourselves to a blue in the face, but I don't think it really matters.
Well, you know, I know a guy who could drop a bomb on this whole thing. The new Pope, American Pope, is a Villanova guy. What if Pope Leo IV was like, you know what, I've looked at this NIL thing. I don't like it for the faith-based schools. Sorry, Big East, but I don't think you should have an NIL over $1 million. I think the other nine, it's go to the community. Sorry, BYU, faith-based. I don't think you can spend money on AJ DeBanza. That's not going to work. At that point, a lot of college basketball fans will be like, who? Pope Schmope. No interest.
Yeah, no doubt about it, man. That would go out the window. That'd be funny if you tried, though. I'd be interested.
Hey, why not, right? Everyone sticks their beak and everything else, so why not? Dallin, yeah. I appreciate it. Have fun when you're here in Vegas, and thanks for working with Coaches versus Cancer and with the Krugers. We appreciate it. I know the community does as well.
Thanks a lot, guys. Can't wait to be out there. Have a good one.
Really talked over him there at the end. I apologize. We were both trying to tell a joke. I thought he was stopping. He thought I was stopping.
If it makes you feel better, I liked your joke better.
Now back to Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
So you got a little lost on Dallin Cuff when he was talking about the NCAA committee?
It's not the
committee. It's the lawsuit that has been going on for a while here. There's a judge trying to settle it. That's supposed to kind of set up some parameters for what NIL and caps and it's very complicated.
He was talking, I kept seeing those equations like from A Beautiful Mind, you know, that keep going around his head or whatever. And
we were talking about the quantum computer. Your whole thing yesterday, we don't have true AI.
We don't.
Yeah. Maybe we need a true AI to solve this.
We do. In about 100 years, we'll be able to solve it.
There's no easy solution.
No.
And I'm telling you, this will be a very big topic, the Trump Commission on College Sports, because they got Nick Saban involved. And I think Nick is going to be mostly on the side of the institutions and the coaches.
Yeah.
And they added a guy as one of the other dudes at the head of the commission who is a 1,000,000,000% pro player. I don't know if this dude lasts 2 weeks.
Wow.
I was reading his take on it today.
Yeah.
Oh, he's like, what they've been doing in college sports is highly illegal.
They're going to have him out of there, huh?
I think they're going to listen to him and be like, well, this isn't what we expected. We wanted a kind of a dog and pony show where we crap all over the players and throw our might behind the college institutions and the coaches. This dude's not going for it.
What is this commission? I don't even understand how that's legal to have one.
They're trying to fix college sports.
What? Yeah. Very very liberal commission, by the way. It
I
is.
I don't. Well, it depends on what the take is and what the outcomes are.
I'm saying having government involved at all is a very liberal thing.
Oh yeah, I mean, well,
you know, small government.
Small government. I know. I don't. College sports should be able to take care of itself.
Yeah,
it doesn't need government intervention. And we've said for years and years and years that basically, if the government gets involved, they're going to freaking screw it up. We'll hit this with Xavier Pope. Also, NBA playoffs. And you know what? I got to tell you. Griffin's been sneaking stuff in. Little comments about Joy Taylor. I love what she's doing. She was in all these salacious stories. She is like, you know what? I've got peanut butter skin. I've got a big rack. I like sex. I want 25-year-olds. I'm like, you know what? Lean into it.
Yeah.
There's actually nothing wrong with what she's doing.
Here we go, yo. Here we go, yo. So what's the scenario?
Lawyer and host of Suit Up News, Xavier Pope, joins Cofield and Company now.
Caulfield and Company back.
Oh, right back. Okay. Let's bring Xavier Pope. Miss hit there. Commodore 64 flaming out. What's up, EP?
Hey, what's up, Steve?
A whole lot. We got a lot of important stuff to get to, so we'll go right into it. We were kind of joking/ beginning to address Trump and his college sports commission, which I think a lot of people are going to believe is a great thing. A lot of other people are going to say, hey, it's just a fantastic distraction. Maybe something good can come out of this, at least a roundtable of some smart people talking about college sports.
What smart people? Come on. These are people who want – come on. First, the guy he's even talking about is not the smartest guy in the world. He shouldn't be in the office in the first freaking place. The second thing is you're dealing with college athletes, and they want to be able to put them back where they were as students. They want to be able to overturn case law. They want to be able to make it so that athletes can't make money off of NIL anymore, restrict transfers, do all the different things that the court has been able to help push along so that that there's now pro-labor, pro-freedom. It's so interesting that people claim freedom and all that. These are the same people trying to take other people's freedoms away. That's what I see it as. This is someone who likes to be involved in everything in a society that's attempting to, you know, I want to have my say. I want to have my stamp on every single thing. There's so much more bigger priorities to be able to address than what college athletes are doing. But it's par for the course of this administration to be involved in every single aspect of American life.
I am going to push back on this because the entire commission has not been named. And a couple hours ago, a guy named Cody Campbell was named co-chair of the commission. He actually has written at length, very, very pro-player, and used really strong language about the current system, saying it is absolutely not correct. Now, he also said, hey, this isn't supposed to be political. It's not left and right. My fear is that this guy's going to come in, talk circles around people, and go with the take that, hey, come up with a system that is equitable for both sides, and the college football overlords are going to be like, you know what, get him out. I don't know if he lasts 2 weeks, but this guy has a really strong voice, and he has a good record that is pro player. Cody Campbell.
Yeah, think of the law firms, think of the different organizations, the companies who have capitulated in this era. I don't trust it. I'm sorry. They're the people who we once thought had certain views, and then they don't have them anymore. Or maybe he does have a certain viewpoint, and then he's gone. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
I don't trust a single bit of this. This is just noise, a distraction from much larger issues that have gone on in this country.
Okay, I got to get to a lawsuit. This one goes back about 10 days. I'm sure you saw this. Steve Smith is being sued because he was the other man. He's being sued for over $100,000 by the husband of a Ravens marching band member, which is kind of surprising, right? You think cheerleader. But anyway, they're hot band members. There's something in North Carolina called the home wrecker law. Have you heard of this?
Yeah, this is the alienation of affection. And we covered this in law school for about 5 minutes.
Okay.
But there are several states that still have it. It allows for someone who had a happy marriage to be able to sue someone who potentially comes along and breaks the contract. This concept is in business as well in terms of interference with it. Tortious interference or contract. That's the same concept, but it's applied to marriage itself as a contract. But the thing that has to be proved is that marriage was a happy marriage. And you're going to have it's not against the spouse that was cheating, and cheating also isn't required. Her cooperation is going to be needed to be able to say, hey, this was a happy marriage. Is she going to do that? and that's what makes it difficult. I mean, 200 plus of these cases are brought every single year. This is an interesting case. I don't know how far it goes. I think this person is really attempting to damage Steve Smith's reputation more so than be able to make some money. And he's a little hurt about the situation, but it's a low likelihood of success. Maybe you get a couple dollars though.
Is Steve Smith, for being the other man, is he a terrible person?
I can't say whether he's a terrible person or not, because once again, the primary objective and the hurdle that has to be crossed is the marriage was a happy marriage. Mm. And so if that was an unhappy marriage, though, that was on the outs, you don't even get a chance to win in a suit like this. So there you go.
Greg, you ever been the other man?
Oh, dude, that's the best way to go.
Xavier, you ever been the other man?
I would never say that on air. If
come
I,
on!
Or not, but
stole the closure!
You're not going to give me calls out here on these airwaves, Steve.
Okay. I got to address a story. I love the direction this is going in. I think there are a lot of guys who are getting all rankled and worked up. Joy Taylor was in this, allegations by a Fox employee towards management, salacious details of sleeping with at least a couple of dudes on staff, a boss, and a coworker. Can I tell you that since it came out, people went after her, and they're like, she's going to be gone. She's done. Her career's over. Since she's come back, and I'm going to try to put this delicately, she has released the hounds. I'm referencing her boobs, which are big. She's dressing the way she did, and I think even more provocatively at times. She's now doing podcasts talking about how much she likes sex. She wants to be with 25-year-olds. I always try to look at like what the approach is here. Her gig is up. Her contract is up. I don't know if this was legal advice, but she's like, I'm going to be who I am. I'm going to talk like I want. And you know what? If Fox wants to fire me based on allegations and a stupid lawsuit, at least in her mind, from months back, go ahead and do it. I'll see you in court.
Yeah, she can do whatever she wants with her body. And she have a good time at a Joy. She went to college with my ex-girlfriend. I just
take
saw on the street a little while
take
ago.
It easy. Take it easy. That sounded like you have some stories. Take it easy.
I got some stories. I think that Joy is free to do whatever she wants. I think that she is a very beautiful woman. I think that she's going to be fine. She's going to land on her feet. She knows how to take advantage of her voice on multiple platforms. So I think she's good no matter what. I think that a lot of people are interested in her. She's also very, very, very bright. So she's good. I mean, she's having a good time. She's having a time of her life.
People love these stories, and certain media outlets, I saw two different UK outlets pitch it as she reveals raunchy details. I looked through the raunch, and all she said was, I like to have sex every day. Now, if that's a guy, we can all say that. Why can't Joy?
Good luck with that, guys.
Why can't Joy?
Yeah, I think she can have as much sex as she wants. Yeah. I think people are jealous of people having sex who are not attractive. I think that when someone who's if she wasn't traditionally attractive and she said she had sex every day, people would applaud her like silence like this. But because Joy is actually pretty darn attractive, and I think people are upset that she wants to have sex every day.
I don't really have a segue for this, Xavier, so I'm just going to say this.
Xavier Pope is with us.
Yeah, Xavier Pope is with us.
That's the reintro. That's always the transition. Come on now.
LeBron James, obviously, Lakers, not the season. Didn't end the way they wanted it to. And the future, I don't know. We don't know what's going to happen there. LeBron being kind of ambiguous about whether he's going to retire or not. Is there any chance that he retires next season? Or within the next, because I feel like he's still going to play. This will be one of those things where, like, 3 years on the road, we're like, is this guy ever going to retire?
I have no idea what LeBron James is going to do. I mean, I think that it was a very disappointing ending for the Lakers. LeBron James was ran into the ground by J.J. Redick at the end of that series. He looked gassed. That was the first time I actually seen LeBron James look old.
I agree.
In a series.
Yeah.
And so that was the crack in the armor finally seen. And so, Is LeBron James going to be the lead guy of a team anymore? That's the question to ask. And does he want to do that? And so when you play at such a high level, being one of the greatest players of all time, being the second fiddle guy doesn't seem like, I know LeBron James, he's very complimentary of Luka and all that. But I just don't see LeBron James saying, I want to be a role player to end my career.
I got to ask you this, Xavier, because I don't even know where this came from or how long it's been around, but it's super popular now. This Met Gala, what is this thing? I don't know if you have any idea. And, like, how did it become this huge thing, and are you a fan of it?
It's a giant prom. I mean, that's what it is. Yeah. It's a prom for celebrities and people to wear different outfits. I mean, you had Andre 3000 wearing a piano. You had people can wear the most outrageous thing in the world. I mean, you had Diana Ross with this beautiful, beautiful dress that was 1,000 feet long, the train on it. You also had it was the celebration of dandyism, and it had the all black male curators of it, which was a cool historic thing that was done. But I to see people's outfit out, that was great. I mean, I have not been to the Met Gala. I'd like to go to the Met Gala. Would I wear a piano? I don't know. A saxophone? I mean, what instrument would you go as? Maybe some drums? I mean, that's what I used to play as a kid. So maybe I'll go there and invest in some drums next year.
I think it was a saxophone, maybe. That'd be cool.
I mean, we joked yesterday that I would go with a big microphone on my back.
No, be the microphone, Steve. Be the microphone.
Yeah, I could be the microphone.
Your face is the microphone.
My top five list: Serena Williams, Sydney Sweeney, Halle Berry, Andre 3000 with a piano in the back. And I also liked a member of Blackpink, singer Lisa. Did you see the explanation on the Rosa Parks and other people on her underwear? I guess it was a Pharrell design.
Yeah, Rosa Parks did not do that to be worn as underwear. But then again, the state of Rosa Parks did sue, speaking of Andre 3000, the band Outkast, that used the name Rosa Parks in the name of an Outkast song. So I don't think they would have, her family is okay with how that was used.
EP, we appreciate it. Love you, buddy. Have a good weekend.
Love you guys.
Love you, man. Hope.
Yeah, Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York, $75,000 a seat. It's a fundraising event, basically a big fashion show, as he said, kind of like a prom, and it's been around since 1948, so it's gotten bigger and bigger and bigger. And if all those people are paying $75,000 to go there and it goes to charity,
yeah,
seems good to me.
No pun, but
why are you mad?
No pun that Lisa had a nice back of the bus, though.
No pun.
What?
More Met Gala.
I'm going home.
More Met Gala talk coming up on Cofield and Company.